Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. David Levithan's new novel, Two Boys Kissing, will make you laugh and cry, but best of all, it'll make you relive those perfect, innocuous moments of finding and then being with your first love. Levithan also takes it several steps further by having the lost generation of AIDS victims tell the story as they see it unfolding.
One of the ways I got really into the book was the notion of, so my gay generation, I'm 41 years old, is a very, very tiny one, that it only lasted a couple of years, because so the gay generation before mine, which my uncle is a part of, was really the generation that had to deal with AIDS and so the onset of AIDS. Whereas the generation after mine, that is a more distant memory, and they're really defined by the internet and sort of all the freedoms that came with that. And so the narrative of the book, I thought it was interesting to sort of take the generation before mine and everything they went through and just imagine them looking at the generation after mine, which shares many, many challenges, but at the same time living in such a different world than the one that they lived in.
In a world that offers so much more freedom, but at the same time it doesn't.
Right. I mean, I think it's a different set of challenges, and there's certainly the perception of freedom, but I think that you can still fall into the same boxes of loneliness and peril, but just in different ways.
And some of the beauty of this book, we are not just focusing on these two boys, Harry and Craig, but you have so many other young men who are at different stages in either relationships or of being on their own, and whether or not they've accepted who they are as gay men or if the people around them have accepted or rejected them. So it's these stories that are running parallel with each other. They're brought together by Harry and Craig.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the central sort of story of the book is based on a true story of these two boys who kissed for over 33 hours straight to break the Guinness Book of World Records record for longest continuous kiss. And I heard that story and I thought, oh, this is really powerful, the things that they would do to sort of stand up for what's right. But that really is just the framework to look at all of these other different stories that are happening through the lens, as you said, of the generation that died of AIDS. And so I wanted to weave almost a tapestry of all the different things that queer teenagers are nowadays. And that was a very easy way to do that.
There's this one moment in the book where Harry and Craig, they are doing this in the front lawn of their high school, and a faculty member from their school has agreed to stay with them throughout, so there's always some sort of supervisor there for their own protection. Mm-hmm. And our narrator says, well, a history teacher has come out, and then they realize, we know him, he helped us through the hardest times, and he's there, and he's out, and thank gosh that he is there to protect those boys like he helped protect us. And that moment where the narrator connects even more with the boys in our story is just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I mean, the fact that I have an uncle who has been quite successfully living with AIDS for almost 30 years now. I mean, it's very much a part of that community and is an AIDS counselor and is just an amazing guy. Like, that certainly informed the way that I saw the world of the book, that certainly there are the people who were lost, but there are also the people who remain and who really have become a part of who all of the following generations are. I mean, for me, again, being 41 and of this sort of strange little hinge generation, it was really interesting to me in writing the book to think about the fact that really all of the people who naturally would have been my role models or who would have sort of set the template for me, both as a writer and also as a person, so many of them died. And what that means, it's almost like being the first generation after a world war, that you have very few surviving members of that generation, but the ones who are the survivors become so important because they are the living link to everything that's been lost. And I think the book is sort of one link on the chain removed from them, in that it wants to sort of keep alive what was lost, but also is younger and having the advantages that being part of a culture that is more progressive bestows.
You do all of that so well. And with this book and all of your previous novels, I feel like you have so many lines, so many sentences and full paragraphs that pack such a punch that you think, how do you keep doing that to us as the reader? And it never tires us out. I mean, there's this one portion of the book where it says, every time two boys kiss, it opens up the world a little bit more. Your world, the world we left, the world we left you. This is the power of a kiss. And the whole novel is like that.
Thank you. I mean, it really is amazing, I think, that sort of taking on the voice of this generation looking down, I mean, it's almost a gift to an author because it gives you the distance to actually reflect. I don't think if I was writing as me that lines like that would have come out, because I think in my everyday life I'm not nearly that wise. But when you're writing and when you're sort of giving yourself permission to sort of sit above everything and look at it and really think about it and how it would be seen, that's, I think, when a certain amount of wisdom can come through in the lines. And I'm obviously very thrilled that you found it there.
And I want to talk about some of the other boys in this book. And there is a brand new couple, Ryan and Avery. And the way they meet is at a school dance where they have decided to have a gay prom, but for all the surrounding towns, because there just aren't enough for one school to have. And so they meet. And the lovely thing is that you're not just keeping it, well, this person's gay, and it's not a stereotypical novel. It's real life. And Avery gives us another look at that part of real life.
Yeah, Avery is a trans boy who very much has been transitioning, was born in the body of a girl, but really knew that he was a boy and had very supportive parents. And when we meet him at the dance and in the course of the book, that's really not the central issue about Avery, that Avery has been living with this and is undergoing transition and lives as a boy, because that's just his life. And I very much love Avery so much. And I one of the things I love about him is the point that he's at, that so often, especially in literature, we always focus on people discovering new identities or just sort of coming out or coming through with new identities. But what I like about characters like Avery is that he's actually been living with his identity for a while. And although certainly it causes some inner conflict and some doubt, because most aspects of identity do, they're not disproportionate. I mean, really, the story is about their relationship, and the nervousness Avery feels is not the nervousness of a transgender boy. The nervousness he feels is of a boy who's just met another boy that he really, really likes, and he doesn't know where it's going to go. And that very much was a part of that relationship to me.
I like how Avery worries, well, is he going to kiss me? Is this the right time? How should we do this?
Yes,
which is just, it makes us anxious because we know what it's like to be in that
position. Oh,
yeah,
everybody's been through that. Totally, totally.
And then on the other side, where Avery has such compassionate and supportive parents, Cooper, who is the only one that we're really following in the novel that doesn't have a partner. I mean, his parents, when they find out, just absolutely blow their tops. His father hits him, and it does nothing for him, for his self-esteem, and he just hates himself for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cooper is mainly sort of checked out of things. I mean, we most of the life that he sees is what he is on the internet and what he does, and it's all very flat to him. And I think his parents don't try to understand him, and in fairness, he doesn't seem to really care at first or to try to share his life with them. But it all really becomes somewhat calamitous when his father does discover sort of that he's on in chat rooms and talking to other guys. And yes, it's a really awful interaction. But I think that's just the start of it. And so we have to see, okay, what happens to Cooper next? How does he process it? And how does sort of the detached nature that he's had as he's been living his life, sort of how will that spell out?
And before we go, the cover of this novel,
yes.
I love the story surrounding it. Would you mind sharing it?
I love it too. So we with the title being Two Boys Kissing, it was very clear that we would have two boys kissing on the cover, which I wanted not just because it's the title, but because that is something that we have not seen, especially in the young adult section. But really, in general, you just don't see those images very much in a bookstore. So we tried using stock art, but mostly it was photos of older guys kissing, and this was very much about teenagers kissing. So a fan of mine, Evan Walsh, who I met by way of Facebook, he sent me a message, said he liked the books, and I met him at one of my readings, and he's an amazing photographer and happened to be in high school still. He was a senior in high school. And so I said, well, here's the deal. We need a cover photo. This is what the characters look like. This is what they're doing. What do you think? And he asked two of his friends who were dating to kiss in front of a local school and took the photo that ended up being on the cover. So it very much is almost like one of my characters came to life from the book in order to create the photo, and that's what we ran with.
And it is such a beautiful photo, just the way the sun is touching down on them, and they just look so happy.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect photo. It captures the spirit of the book perfectly.
Well, the name of the book is Two Boys Kissing. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you.
Again, the name of David Levithan's novel is Two Boys Kissing. It is published by Knopf. And Levithan, along with Sarah Farazan, Bennett Madison, and Hollis Seaman, will be at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York, this Sunday, September 22nd at 4 p.m. For more information, you can go to our website, wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Well,